Quiet, please.
You're listening to Birdies and Bogeys, hosted by Jordan Bloxham and Weston Mon, bringing you golf's week in review, recapping your favorite tournaments with professional insight from their perspective. Now, quiet, please. Here's your hosts, Jordan and Weston.
Weston, how are you this evening?
Doing good.
How was you back and recovered from your vacation?
Yeah, I am. I'm rested. I can breathe. It's been crazy, but back in the swing of things.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, there was a lot of golf, and I didn't watch a lot of it actually. I was just telling you, I was catching up on some things, but like totally forgot that there was golf being played when it was, and caught like the last two holes of the Zozo. That was just because people are plastering all over that Ricky may get back in the winner's circle. So
yeah, the biggest news wasn't that Keegan won, it was that Ricky almost won.
Ricky almost won. But in when I sent it to you, just because I saw the post right before I'd watched anything, it was like that he got back with Butch. Yeah. He finally realized that Butch was like, oh, Butch was taking me in the right direction. Maybe I need to suck up my damn ego and get on this train, right? So he's been back with him for a couple months now and playing some decent golf, because I think did he make the cut in the Sanders tier? He might have. And then he goes over to the Zozo.
He's been like tied for six and then the second place finish. So, I mean, so far things are trending really well. And I haven't looked at the stats to see where his strengths are, but I mean, I guess that move to Butch is what's bringing things together.
Yeah. Like I said, Butch is good. And like I said, and he had him on the right track before, but I think, like I said, Ricky's ego wouldn't let him change. So, no.
Yeah.
Happy for Ricky. Like I said, we said we'd start talking about him when he becomes relevant again, and second place finish gets him relevant. But yeah, Keegan, like I said, it was a weird, I don't think anybody really played good in that final round. It didn't. So, like I said, I watched the last two holes of it. So I don't know there, but I mean, he shoots 68, so it's a par 70. He's 15 under. So there was some good golf before, but the final round, I mean, you've got Griot that shoots 64 and Xander Schauffele that shoots 65. But other than that, it was nobody was like tearing it up out there. Yeah. But good for Keegan. Like I said, it was right. And this is where you get it, right? This is, they get to 78 person field with no cut. They do play 72 holes. Like I said, I think Liv's going to take care of that. I think Liv's working on taking care of that. And going to a couple of different things. I even heard that they're going to do like a qualifying school at the end of this next year, just so that they can have, and I think it's going to go through the Asian tour from what I heard a couple of times, but like I said, I think they're going to take that on and try to make that happen. So
I think it's great.
They need to get him sooner than later. It's kind of driving me nuts that, like, every time they do something like this with this whole Minotaur thing, right? Yeah. It's like they say, well, we're going to, even though the Minotaur hasn't played, right? They're a tour that has standing that, you know, that's they're trying to check a box that they've been asked to check. But every time they do, the whoever's over the board of the OWGR was like, whoa, but no, now you, no, no, we're not going to let that happen. Oh, no. It's like, well, no, you can't say, well, this is one of the reasons why you're not getting points. So they make an attempt to do that, whether it's right.
Every time one of these requisites come up, it's like, wait, we just had a PGA Tour event with no cut and official world golf rankings being distributed.
Yeah.
Wait, and I thought you said that was something you couldn't do.
You're going to have one in about a month that's about the same thing as the live, right? It's 30 players.
Yeah, no cut.
And no cut. And getting world ranking points.
So it's just, it's like, say one thing and do another. And this is where you start to lose trust in organizations,
mm-hmm.
is when you can start to see through the garbage because they're not sticking to their word. They're not saying, if you check all these boxes, you get OWGRs. But they've said these are the boxes you need to check. And yeah, they haven't done it. But on the flip side, they are dishing out points to these PGA Tour sanctioned events, and they're breaking those rules.
Right.
And it's like, well, what the heck is this? Do official world golf ranking points even matter anymore? It's just some organization that's dishing stuff out. So who's to say they're even legitimate? Why don't we start another official world golf point system?
Yeah. But I mean, so the big thing is it's going to be, I think the big thing that's going to happen is the majors. And I think they need to come out sooner than later, right? If they let this drag on, they need to come out and say, hey, everybody that's qualified under our current criteria is eligible to play in our tournament. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's,
it just, I think it just, it needs to happen, but congrats to Keegan winning in Japan.
Yeah.
Right.
Good for him. And he's funny. To me, his game is like, either he is icy cold or he is fiery hot. And I don't know if that's like a health thing or whatever, but like when he's firing on all cylinders, he's actually a really hard player to beat.
Yeah. Like I said, he's good, and he went through some not good golf, right? When in 2018 through 2020. And it wasn't great golf. Like I said, looks, you know, they had the down year, but he doesn't make that, and he's still done okay, which is kind of crazy because he went through a pretty big slump, and now he's at 5 PGA Tour victories, which is funny because that's right where Ricky's at, is at 5, right? I think.
Yeah.
And you can tell the love that they have for Ricky right now, because Shane Bacon goes, oh, he's close. He's really close. He gets that one win and he'll be rolling again. I'm like, he's got 5. It's not like he was rolling before. Right? Keegan has 5. Keegan has the exact same amount.
And Keegan's got a major.
Keegan does have a major.
And Mr. Fowler.
No major for Fowler.
Nope.
Like I said, if he would have got with Butch, I think he'd have a major, probably more wins.
Yeah, you never know.
He would have went with him a little bit earlier.
Well, and all these changes and equipment changes he's made. He's rolling a new putter. It's like a Newport 2 style sick putter with the gradiated face.
And he's playing new irons.
Yeah, he's got the new King Forged in there. And those look pretty decent. So, yeah, he's got a whole new bag altogether.
I think he's actually, like, does it have, because it's the latest he has, Fortinet championship. So that should be pretty close. So what he's got. He's got an old, or the Timeless Plus. Is that still the one that he has in the bag?
Oh, putter-wise?
Yeah.
He's been messing with a couple of things, but...
So let's see. Yeah, so he's got the King Tours, so not... Right, he kind of went away from, well, I have to hit blades. Right? And they were... I don't think they were very easy to hit. Like, overall. The overall, like, look of his old blades, the R33s, RF33s or whatever. Like, they just...
Yeah, those ones
I think they looked cool, but I don't think the actual functionality of them was there.
Yeah, they were a miss. But, I mean, the new irons he's got... There are the cavity back, the King Tour cavities. They basically look like Titleist CBs,
yeah.
The 620s, and they're going to be solid. A very rounded sole and leading edge. I was surprised to see that on those irons, but you know, everybody could use a little bit of something. And even Ricky Fowler is just an absolute pure ball striker. He's got his cavity backs in the bag. So,
yeah, they're very, I mean, yeah, they're a CB. They're not a full cavity, but
yeah,
this is what and I'll get a lot of flack. I don't know that Ricky was a pure ball striker.
I don't think so.
No. Especially when it came down pure ball strikers to me, and this is where I said this about the same thing about Sergio until he kind of, I think they're good ball strikers, but pure ball strikers are ball strikers no matter what this situation is. Pure Bacchus, he's the good ball strikers are good, but when you put the pressure on them, there's a chance that they break down. Pure ball strikers are pure ball strikers no matter what.
I mean, it's a pretty short list though.
Yeah.
I mean,
like I said, but it's the same thing that until Sergio tightened it up for that little bit, he didn't win a major, right? Until he tightened it up, shortened it, didn't let it drop under as much, didn't play that big swooper. So I don't know. Bring it to me. I'll have to look at the things, but That's my take on that. He had some good ball striking days, like say, but all of them do, right?
They're tour players.
They're tour players.
Yeah, but there is a different echelon of tour player that's a pure ball striker.
I think he was a good, like I said, I think above average.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah, we'll see. We will see. There are rumors, though, of other golfers on tour that are just, like, ridiculous, right?
And yes. Like,
do you know whose name pops up all the time when it comes to pure ball striking? And you probably won't even consider it, but Bubba Watson.
I can see it.
Yeah. Just pure. Just
just pure.
Pure.
Dead, no but what. His is just like, but like I said, I think he can hit. His was a lot of his was putter related, because when he needed to hit shots, he hit shots.
He
just struggled around the greens.
Yeah.
So.
Anyways. Ricardo.
Speaking of Liv, we kind of went off on a little tangent on them getting world ranking points, and
yeah,
then back to Ricky's gloves, and but Brooks gets his first win in 2 years, I think.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute for Brooks, and I watched this finish, and I mean, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit here. This win actually meant a lot to him. I haven't seen Brooks get very emotional. I mean, the most emotion is when people start talking about money on Twitter and he starts tweeting. But in this particular scenario, he actually got a little choked up, because he was concerned his playing days were kind of limited given his health struggles with his legs. Yeah. And this kind of shows that he's been able to get himself back into form and play some solid golf when it needed to be played. So,
yeah, like I said, he had a good week last week, 2 weeks ago, Bangkok. Had a decent week there, if I'm not mistaken. Right, I think he had a good first round.
Second round. Yeah, he shot 62 the first round.
Yeah, but yeah, he shot two in Bangkok.
In Bangkok.
Yeah, two 67s and a 69. And then, you know, so he kind of got off of his slide a little bit and comes back and Jeddah, is that how you say it? Is it Jeddah?
Yeah, Jeddah.
Shoot 62 in the opening round, 67, and then 69 to make up one on Peter Uihlein and go into a playoff and birdie the second playoff hole. Right, he birdied the second playoff hole.
Third playoff hole. But it was a long playoff, like, and I had to watch a couple holes of it, and it's a great hole. It's just this long par five. You have to kill a drive, and then this green is just being hugged by this lake on the left, and your only shot, if you're going to go for it in two, is you have to aim at the bunkers, and if you basically want to hit a draw, and if you hook it, you're like stiff. that's how treacherous it is. So you can't go left no matter what. And so both these guys pretty much aimed right at the bunkers, and Uihlein got up and down from the right side of that area like three times in a row. It was impressive. Brooks, he was solid. He did hit a shot on the green in two under regulation, I guess, and then had a great two putt stay in the competition, but then it came down to the last playoff hole, and Uihlein put himself in a kind of a tough spot behind a little finger in the bunker.
Yes.
And it did not go well.
it did not. So I was watching the recap, and he hits one, and he nipped it, right? He was up against that finger, so he had to get it up a little bit quick. But he hit it out of there, and you said something that he mentioned in his post-game presser, that he was like, yeah, he's like, I hit a rock. And the funny thing is you actually watch it when I was watching it, and all of a sudden you hear his Here's caddy go. Did you hit a rock? So he obviously hit a rock.
And that's the thing, is like, you always wonder. Now, they are pros and we should give them the credit that's due, right? But anytime anybody hits a really bad bunker shot, they may come out of that bunker themselves and be like, oh, that was a rock under there. And you're like, really, dude? Or are you just not good at bunker shots? But with Peter, this guy got up and down out of the bunker twice before, and he was absolutely money with his wedge.
Right.
And the fact that caddy just piped up right afterwards, probably.
Well, yeah, he looked at his club and he goes, something. Yeah, and said, you hit a rock. He definitely, yeah. Right, saw that. And it's definitely the play is to hit it in that bunker, because that's where, you know, Brooks hit it. And looks like, yeah, Brooks birdied the 18th all three times that they played it. So, yeah, good for Brooks, though. Like I said, it's big to have what's his face win last week or 2 weeks ago. Man, has it been 2 weeks since the Bangkok one hit?
It has.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, Eugenio Lopez.
Well, 5 days. I guess it wasn't. I guess they. Yeah, it was just the following week.
Another week.
Yeah, but Eugenio winning the week before. Kind of slid down the list this week, but yeah, to have a young guy win it, have one of their, you know, big gets. And Koepka win it this week. So they've had the people that they want to win, right? You've had kind of a mix.
It's been strong.
Cam Smith, but I mean, Ulang gets a lot of crap. A lot for being kind of a joke of a player, but he's had a pretty decent, I mean, after he got there, but he's had a pretty decent season on the live tour, right? Uh-huh. So we'll give it to them. He's a good player. He's in eighth. Like Dustin Johnson just ran away with it because he was that good. And then Brandon Grace. Who did they sub out for Brandon Grace, by the way, this last week?
I don't know.
I know that they've had to do a couple of those, but but I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it all funnels out. But it's, when is the team championship? Next week? Yeah, next week. Next week. Like I said, I'm excited to kind of watch that. Ooh. So looks like going into that, Four Aces obviously have the top seed, Crushers. And Fireball and Stinger GC get the buys in the first round. Mm-hmm. And it'll be an interesting situation, but we'll talk about that in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Speaking of Fireballs, Freddie Couples was on a heater on Sunday.
Okay, little boom boom. Freddie just lit it up. And this is a pretty monumental round, and I kind of wanted to run through some of the numbers that make this pretty special when you really dial it down. So, for one, he broke his age by 3 shots.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's pretty impressive. So the dude's 63 and he shoots 60. That's pretty phenomenal. But for the Champions Tour, this is the lowest final round by a winner in the 43-year history, period. Now, there have been lower scores out there, but it was on
Right.
round one or round two, and some of these
Right.
guys didn't even win the tournament, right? So to go out, shoot 60 the final round to win, it's pretty special.
Yeah.
And it also marks the 100th win for Bettinardi Putters, which is pretty cool. He's been gaming a kind of an arm lock style Bettinardi for some time, and yeah, he really has not veered from that. He'll switch other things around in his bag, but that putter has been there for some time now. So
Yeah, that's crazy.
yeah, some really cool stuff. But yeah, shooting 60, no bogeys, more birdies than there should be, and that's how 60 gets done.
No, 61. He goes on a couple of runs, right? And it's usually when you're 60, it's you obviously have to string together birdies, right? But it's usually there's an eagle thrown in there, and then like they'll go three or four birdies and then a par and then three or four more, right? But eagle's on two, just he pars his first four, then goes birdies five in a row. And then birdie, and then pars two, and then goes, ends the day with seven in a row. And we were talking about this, and we have both played some good golf in our day. And I was like, I've not ran off seven in a row.
No, seven is insane. I think I've ran off seven pars in a row, but not birdies. And I think we both came to the conclusion the most either of us had ever run was five. And I'll tell you what, that was a long time ago for me.
Well, and it's just you just usually don't get that many opportunities, right? If you're playing really good golf, I mean, obviously, if you're shooting 13, go to 13 under, but usually when you do that, you've gotten, an eagle in there, a couple of eagles in there, so you're not running off stretches, right? Seven is a lot. Seven is a lot. But yeah.
That I'm having five birdies around for me is like, hey, oh, not bad. That's good. Five birdies. But freaking five birdies in a row, then seven birdies in a row over a 15-hole stretch. That's like
Yeah, it's
just
not like he came out and birdied his first
it's unconscious is what it is.
four holes,
It's crazy.
which is usually how good rounds start, right? You're usually five or six under through seven. And then you
Oh,
just kind of
yeah.
keep it going. But
Yep.
nope, he just decided to bunch them all together. So.
But oh, good win for Freddie, and it's pretty cool to see a name like him still beat it around and whoop up on everybody.
Yeah, took a win over the hottest guy for the last year or so on the Champions Tour, Steve Alker. And Steve Alker, I mean, Steve Alker shoots 64, so it's not like he gagged away the round,
No,
but
he's no slouch, but
it wasn't enough. That is for sure.
Oh, that's good
But
stuff.
now let's get into some club talk. There was actually two, both drivers in the two that we're going to hear are drivers that are not available for the public to
Wait,
purchase at
what?
this point.
That's how could they do that?
But I guess that was the same with the TSR for a little bit, because I don't think
Yeah.
did it finally get released?
The TSR is now available.
Now available for is it just available for purchase or pre-order? Or is it actually available?
It's available.
It's available.
Yeah. It took a little they do their tour seating, and maybe that's what we're doing here. Because this
They do, but from what I understand, the G430 isn't coming out until February. So that's like early. It's like early tour seating, but I guess they figure they've got to get it done in October, or it's not gonna catch any smoke, because you do go through that December area where you don't have November-ish December where you don't have any tournaments, so you got to get it in early. But
it's true, yeah. But I think it's really like the first week where the pictures emerged, and I mean, I guess we'll go through Keegan, because that's a fun one. So PGA Tour, Zozo, Keegan wins. Driver in the bag is the brand new Ping G430 LST 10.5. So that's a good sign right there. When you've got a tour player that is leaning towards the higher loft on a driver, because now you know it's going to be stable because it's Ping, but it's going to be low spin.
He's got the LST.
And maybe you can correct me on this, but typically I see guys in Pings in a little bit lower loft range. I'll see them in the 9, 8.5, and even 7 degree range, just because they tend to spin even more than some of the competitors, even the LST models. But hey, I can be wrong there.
No, if anything, they do tend to be that way. But I think the last couple that we've had with the Pings have been in that higher lofted one, and maybe they just do it with the shaft, but I don't know. Like I said, to have it, the Ping guys, I think they all switched. I think every Ping guy that I saw switched, and he's not a Ping staffer.
No, he's a Strickson staffer. He's a
Strickson staffer, which they just came out, and this is what it's really weird, because Brooks in the Live event was playing the Make 2, the Strickson ZX7.
Yeah.
Make 2 or Mark 2. But Egan's is the Ventus Black 6X. And it's not a TX, and it's not a heavier weight. So they may have kind of got it right where they actually, like I said, I play the LST, but I play the 400. Yeah. And Ping drivers do tend to spin a little bit more, but that's because their MOI is usually.
Yeah, super high.
Higher. Yeah, is higher. So.
Well, the Ping G430 driver is a pretty big shift in the Ping lineup. And this is the first time Ping is offering carbon fiber crown or other carbon fiber elements in the driver.
Yeah.
So that what that tells me is, I mean, obviously other manufacturers have been using carbon fiber for several years now, but it's everybody's starting to do it. It means it's pretty much a mainstay now. And especially when Ping does it, because they're really picky about putting stuff out unless it's really good. And right. So and it's a sleek looking driver. It looks like their color combos, more of a fluorescent yellow or green that they've added to it. And it's all blacked out with some of the white and green decals on there. So it's pretty cool. It's definitely not a sleeper in regards to looks. And it has a nice weight track in the back, G425-esque, being able to move it to toe or heel or keep it centered. So it's just really optimized for stability, good MOI. And I think they're just getting some better weight savings with the carbon crown and getting that CG lower to take some of that spin off.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, like when the pictures first came out, people were absolutely hammering it. Right. Because it does from the bottom, it looks, it has a very Cobra-esque vibe to it with the
Yeah. That
with the color combinations, right? The
Yeah.
brightness,
Oh, totally.
which I'm surprised. If that is one thing that I would say that if I was Ping, I would have just stay with your matte black and gray, or just go all matte black, murder it out, still have the same thing. I don't know what they're thinking was. It's definitely outside of the Ping box,
Yeah.
Rupert. But I'm excited to hit it. Like I said, I haven't had a chance to hit it yet.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to hit it. It does have the more of the weight feel of the 400, which is more what I'm excited about than anything else. So it will be interesting, the performance of it.
Yeah, no, it'll be good. So, yeah, pretty excited to see that, 'cause I've always liked the idea of a ping, but they've just never really worked for me. So I'm excited to give this one a try.
It'll be an interesting one, because there is a lot of like higher speed guys that don't like it because they create too much spin, usually is how
Yeah.
that kind of works. But yeah, his three wood, where I mean, if you look at his bag and Brooks's bag, they both went with the TaylorMade. Brooks is the older M2 Tour, but they all, both went with and Keegan's is the Sim 2 Max, but both basically different versions of the same three wood, where it's the high launch 16.5.
Yeah. No,
So
it's a really good three wood, the Sim 2 Max, because there's a lot of players that have not taken it out of the bag.
yeah.
I think Tiger to some extent played it well past its prime, and then I think Rory is playing the Sim 2 Max. It's pretty
He
crazy.
played I think he did finally. I think he did switch over to the stealth,
Knitting.
though Rory
Yeah.
did.
So yeah, it's good three wood, and we know that the tour players have kind of been going this route, the higher launch three wood, so they can get just better angle of descent, and they're going to get the carry numbers they want out of it. So not so much a backup driver, but a really a utilitary a utility fairway wood.
Yes.
And then into the hybrid. We've seen a lot of
So
seven woods, but this one sneaks in there in the five wood range.
it's they put it under hybrid. It's not a hybrid.
It's a
It's
wood.
a wood. The Callaway Apex utility. It's a utility wood. It is a
Wood. It's in
wood.
the name.
It is a wood. So he's got a five wood in the bag. And the reason, like, we actually, I had this discussion with one of my players. They're like, well, what is it? I'm like, well, it's a wood, because you have to use a wood shaft for it. And the funny thing that he does with it, he actually has the Project X Smoke Black's RDX 60, so he goes lighter
That
in
is
this
odd.
one when you're usually going up. But maybe they got the number wrong and it's supposed to be an ADTX. But yeah, this is the first Apex UW that has been, pretty sure that that's the first one that's been in a bag, a winning bag, for what's in the bag that we've done anyway.
Yeah.
But
Yeah, it's been a lot of use, but yeah, good golf club. I was interested in it for a little bit, but then I sat it down and looked at it, and I'm like, no, not for me. It's got a unique look to it, but the soul characteristics are really good for picking it out of the rough, so it performs better than it looks, in my opinion.
Right. It's definitely got, I think they wanted to go with a smaller head look, the smaller fairway look to it.
Totally.
But then he finally gets into, you know, his the company they sponsor by with his irons. He goes to ZX5s in his 3 through 5 iron, and then goes ZX7 and 6 through pitching, which is a pretty, with a lot pretty of standard. Them, I'm surprised that, you know, that he goes to the 5 iron in the ZX5, but it's a pretty standard and easy combo set with the Tour Issue X100s in there, and then both winners on the LIV and the PGA Tour had the zip cores in them. But with Keegan going with a 5 wood and a 3 iron, he goes to the pitching wedge, and then he goes 52-58.
That's a pretty bold wedge breakdown, in my opinion.
It's been a couple of times lately that we've had it. I think it wasn't Tom Kim, but it was McKenzie. I think it was McKenzie that had a similar breakdown or something that we've done.
Yeah, a 52-58. And to me, it's like, that's really bold to me. I usually want to see more coverage, more wedges.
Yes.
Maybe more traditional 60, 56, 52, 48 scenario, but obviously it's working for him, and maybe he needs more clubs at the top end of his bag than at the bottom end.
Maybe, like I said, and I've been a proponent just like you, right? I'm way more into I'd much rather have a bigger gap of the top end of my bag than the bottom end of my bag.
Yeah.
But like I said, we've seen a few of these combinations lately. So there's a few guys that are really comfortable just manipulating. I say manipulate, but creating shots with their wedges, maybe. Yeah, that's just what it is. They're comfortable with it.
He has a pretty traditional looking 52 degree. It's a mid bounce. I'd say it resembles probably like an S grind from Avoki, but his 58 definitely much more versatile. There's a ton of heel relief. There's trailing edge relief. There's toe relief. I'd say it's almost like a cleaner M grind. So that's the club that gets to work. That's the one that gets the job done. So
for sure. And then, right, Brooks has kind of got, besides his Mark II, the Strixon ZX7 Mark II that he's got in the bag, with his Diamana 70TX shaft, he's basically the same as he's been for there. Like I said, the one thing that I will say is he's got his Scotty Cameron, which you posted about it.
Yeah.
His putter, which is, you know, Keegan's, he's got his wrist lock, his arm lock putter. But it's a newer, the Versa Jailbird. It's not a newer putter, but I believe it's newer to him. I think this is the first time he's used it for a while, but go into a little bit in depth on Brooks's putter, because it's a beauty.
Oh yeah, it is good. So the Scotty Cameron T22 Terrillium insert putter, it is the stainless steel head. It's not blacked out. It's nice and silvery, so it has that tour look to it. It pretty much was, he made a switch from his Scotty Cameron T10 a while ago, which is also a silver Terillium. Mm-hmm. But he changed the grip. And when he changed the grip, it changed the weighting in the putter. So he had to change the putter altogether. And that's why I went to the T22. And to me, it is a significantly better design than the T10. It's a little bit more uniform. It's very balanced. To be honest, it's the best looking Newport 2 in the recent years that I believe Scotty Cameron's ever put out. So I usually don't collect putters very often, but man, that's a putter I would like to have just because I think Scotty did a bang up job on it. And then departed from that design quite quickly with the special selects. But it's a beautiful, beautiful putter, and Scotty just wanted to do everything right on it from a Terillium perspective. So it has a nice, not a hexagon. It's like an eight-sided octagon type of an insert. So it's just kind of chiseled on the edges. So it just fits really nice in the face. And then it's got the classic white domino dots in the back where all the urethane insert comes in. Cause the putter has to sit, the face has to connect to the putter. And if you don't put any type of vibration dampening material in between it, then you're really just doing metal on metal. And there's really not much difference that the insert really provides because the vibration would transfer directly into the putter head and thus up the shaft. But when you put a vibration dampening material in there, like the white urethane that you do see, it really does soak up some of that vibration and then thus makes it feel softer. And so that's a really unique feature of it, and that's an important part of it. And there's probably some additional vibration dampening material behind the insert too. So just all about feel and super clean.
It is. It looks really good. Maybe they should have moved that a little bit out towards the toe. He's traditionally kind of puts him off the toe sometimes.
He does. I have seen that.
It's there, but looking at that, but I did just make an update because I was looking at the Keegan Bradley what's in the bag. And As I suspected, it is an 80 gram black RDX. Looked it up and I was like, that pretty sure that does not say 60. And it doesn't. So they got that wrong. Good job, Golf WRX. This is why the Live needs to get us on track for doing theirs, because we don't make mistakes like that.
Not on this. Nope.
But no, it's a, like I said, and he's playing the it doesn't give the ball. This is from Brooks's ball. It doesn't give. It's
so
Golf Australia, watch but it. You watched we it did. So
yeah, close he's up still playing reveals the timeless. It's a Strixen.
Oh, is it a Strixen? So he's probably got the Z Star Diamond, which is the same ball Keegan was playing. It performs a little bit more. Week. Yeah, it was a good week for Strixen. I have hit the ball. It spins way too much for me. But it's definitely got a softer feel to it than the old ball. My guess is that's where, because I'm pretty sure that Brooks went away from the driver for a little bit and the ball for a little bit for some of those reasons, but now he's got it back. He's got the driver back in the bag and the ball back in the bag. So that's a good thing. But one thing of note, and as we are doing some things, right, we very rarely, especially when it's a lower level, I think we did did a little blurb on John Rahm last week.
Yeah.
Winning the Spanish Open, but another Spanish winner on the DP World Tour. Adrian Otegi. I don't know how you say it. But playing on the DP World Tour this week, but he was a former, I don't know if he's still considered a LIV Tour member, but he was granted some an exemption, right? Got back on there. So he's the first LIV golfer to win on a tour other than the LIV. Gets there and wins the DP World Tour, and this just goes to show that these guys can win other places. But if it's the case where these guys are washed up or can't win everywhere else, what does that say about the DP Tour?
That's really bad.
That's bad if that's the case, right? But I just think, right, they're just...
I think the LIV Tour is now very strategically positioned with great players and great talent. You have a world number two in Cam Smith, and he's not winning every week. Yeah, he won one, but he's not winning everything.
No, he's actually been headed down a couple of weeks.
Yeah. And so to see even a, I would say, like a third tier player that had played on LIV go out to the DP and then win, good for him. That's awesome. If you think the DP has good talent, I'd say it's equal to, say, like the Nationwide, or what do you call it now? The Corn Ferry Tour.
Corn Ferry, yeah.
I'm old. Sorry, guys.
You're going way back.
I know.
Was it the Nationwide right before? I don't know.
It was the Nationwide, and then it was the Web, and then it was the Corn Ferry. Whatever. The sub tour, the minor leagues. But yeah, that's essentially what you're comparing it to. And those guys are great too. That's some really solid golf on the Corn Ferry. It's not PGA Tour level, but you know, he's also not a, maybe he is a PGA Tour level player now, but it's just good to see some success on players that are out there that wanted to try something new.
Yeah. And like I said, there's a lot of stuff that's going on, right? I mean, we're not going to get into it too much, but one thing that Phil said is that if the two tours don't come together, one of them's going to end up no longer in existence. And I think that's kind of true. The one thing that'll help is if LIV does go to 72 holes with a cut, joins up with a tour, has a feeder tour, has a Q school, and starts getting right at that point, they've got their players are good enough where they can't be denied OWGR points anymore, right? Yeah. And I think that the majors will have to allow guys that qualify under their criteria, which I think they should anyway, right? It's they're not ran by the PGA Tour. If they do decide to change the rules, I think they're looking at some possible lawsuits because of it, right? Because then there can be some collusion going on behind the scenes because they're not, right? They're not part of the tour, right? The tour does feed into it, and there's some criteria where they used the PGA Tour because it was the only barometer that they had.
Yeah.
For qualifying. But I think if they start excluding players that fit the current criteria, I think there could be some issues that way. But yeah, once they start getting OWGR points, right? I think it's a whole new ball game. If they satisfy all these things that no other tour has to, right? Some of these tours, and as I was reading something about some of these other tours, there are some tours that get OWGIR points that are only 54 hole events, but they have a cut. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of them, but it's like, okay, so now the 54 hole thing is non-existent. They don't get a ton of points, but they obviously don't have the strength of field that Liv does either. So
yeah,
it's right. We're moving down a road because, well, one tour initially was just right. They took such a hard stance on it. And now I think they're both kind of, they both just need to come to the table, right? Greg needs to continue to say, hey, I'm willing to kind of come to the table. You know, they can say whatever we want. We're trying to build a world-class tour that can work, you know, that can coincide with the PGA Tour, right? Because DP World Tour does, essentially, right? You got people that, if they're high enough up in the world rankings, come over and play a few events over on the PGA Tour from the DP World Tour. But, and more that the PGA Tour goes and plays in DP World Tour events and steals points in the higher rated ones.
Yeah.
But they've got to come together. I think you need to get a thing where the best players are competing on, they don't have to compete on a week to week basis. I mean, it'd be great, but
I don't know. I just feel like it's really just holding out for the majors now, right?
Yeah.
And if
the majors are going to be a big thing.
Yeah, this is, you know, this season next year will be a big tell on how things are going to roll out, because, you know, I want to see the best players, and we've always admitted that we love to watch the Masters, but it doesn't have the best field because it's always limited to about 70 or 80 players.
Yep.
And then the U.S. Open and the Open Championship are the strongest fields in the world when it comes to open qualifying and who gets in. And I think the USGA should take a pretty open stance to it, given that the name is the name. It's the U.S. Open. And they even made mention of it. Like, if you qualify or you did this, and you are in the open, and it will always remain an open.
Let's hope they keep with that.
I hope so.
But yeah, I don't know. And we've even talked about it, right? There's a point in the PGA Tour season where they don't have the best field available to them because they have five to 10 players on the Korn Ferry Tour that are playing better than the lower players.
Yeah.
That aren't performing on the PGA Tour. So they're not necessarily putting week in week out the best players on the tour. There could be, like, if there was some fluidity in that, right? That would be great on the PGA Tour. I know you earn it for a year, but it's like, okay, maybe at the halfway point, maybe you earn a half, you're guaranteed this much. And if at the halfway point you're not there, we're going to graduate some players that are playing better and have it fluid in that last 10, 15 spots. It would be awesome to see some of those guys get a chance that are playing really, really good on the Korn Ferry Tour to get it. I don't know. That's just me, but I don't know. It'll be an interesting 2 months off season. I think there's going to be a lot of things that Liv does that will force those that are in charge of OWGR points to really, really make a decision on which way they want to go, and whether they're going to just completely bow to the PGA Tours and the RNA's bum, right? And
yeah,
blackball these guys for no reason and keep changing the rules to suit their position on it. But I don't know. We'll have to see. Like I said, I have no idea where the PGA Tour is playing this week. Again. But I'm excited to watch in a couple of weeks how they finish yeah. out the team championship. And as Peter Jacobson quipped about the Live Tour giving putts during one of the PGA Tour champions broadcast, he's like, I don't know, on the Live, do they give those?
And, oh, wow.
And so somebody said, well, in the things that it was like, yeah, they're, when it comes to this, you know, team format in the match play, they're going to be given putts. I'm like, you realize that there's a couple of match play tournaments on the PGA Tour that they give putts. It's a match play thing. Yes, it's going to be, there's going to be putts given. It's match play. That's what kind of what it is.
No, that's ridiculous. It's just the pot calling the kettle black.
It's just like, well, the funny thing is everything that they say is wrong with the Live Tour. You can find an example of the PGA Tour or co-sanctioned events doing very similar stuff. So it's funny.
Yeah. But
I don't know. It'll be a fun couple of weeks. Well, a fun couple of months, I guess, seeing what happens. I think there's going to be a lot of golf-related topics and not necessarily golf going on in mid-November to mid-December.
So, yeah.
Happy to see it. But I think that's it for today. So
that is it.
Everybody, thanks for listening. Until next time. We are out. Thanks for listening to this episode of Birdies and Bogeys. If you enjoyed what you heard, please subscribe, leave us a rating and review, and until next time, have a great week.